All right, let's open up the book of John, chapter 16. Last week, we saw Jesus offering us friendship. He's going to not only be a friend to us, a friend that we can rely on, a friend who's willing to share heaven with us and everything that he has, the friend who is committed to us all the time, and as he's giving this news of his departure, he also promises the disciples the Holy Spirit, another helper who would come and do the things that we're going to see today. So we're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. We'll pick up from the last two verses of chapter 15. He said in verse 26, "But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Jesus is still wanting that these disciples get to grips with the fact that he's going to the cross. He's going to leave them. This is probably the second last day that he has with them before he's going to be arrested and nailed to the cross. We saw last week he assures them that he's going to be available. If they need anything, they would have to communicate with him all the time if they wanted to. The friendship that we looked at last week. And obviously, his departure is sad news to them, and most of them still don't understand it. And he says to them, "All right, I'm offering you friendship, but I'm not leaving you alone. Right? I'm not a friend who is going to be thousands and millions of miles away. I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit." And this takes us to the very nature of God. God is one, but three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We struggle to fix that in our heads, but it's true. We cannot comprehend it that God can be one person and he's three. So we see the Father doing so many things. We see him speaking at creation. We see the Spirit hovering around the world, and we later on are told that the Son was the one creating, was the one making everything as the Father would speak. Remember the baptism. We saw this in the beginning of the book of John and all the other Gospels. Jesus is there to be baptized, the Son. The Spirit comes in form of a dove, and the Father speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." And we see that spread all over the Bible. We see the Father sending the Son to die on the cross. The Son is going to the cross. The Son is going to rise from the dead and ascend to heaven, and he is going to send us the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to be alone, not even to be afraid of his absence, because he actually never leaves us. And he tells them, the helper, the one who's going to help you in everything, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. He is going to tell you about me. If you have not understood anything, he tells them, the Spirit is going to explain those things to you. They have not understood the resurrection. They have not understood the second coming. They have not understood so many things. And Jesus says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is going to help you understand these things. He's going to testify of me. He's going to tell you about me, about my plans that I have for you. Remember, we saw in John chapter 14, he told them, the Spirit is going to remind you everything that I am telling you. You're going to forget. And that's why I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, to remind you of the things that I'm telling you right now. You're not recording these things. You're going to forget them. Don't worry. The Holy Spirit is coming. The Spirit of God is coming. He will remind you. And now we see the Spirit is going to continuously tell them about Jesus Christ. And he says to them in verse 47, after God the Spirit has told you about me, you're going to then tell others about me. And you also will bear witness of me, because you have been with me from the very beginning. The reason God sends them His Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is not only for them to know more about God, but also to help them declare the God they know. So each one of us knows Jesus Christ, and maybe you don't. Today you get to know about Him. Once you have known Jesus Christ personally, there is one more thing that is required of us that the Spirit of God helps us to do. It helps us tell others about Jesus Christ. It may be a very nervous experience. You may not know where exactly to start. And Jesus told them in another place that you don't even have to worry what you're going to say when you're persecuted. I am going to give you the words. In John chapter 1, verse 32, John bore witness, John the Baptist. He said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him. How did these men know who Jesus was and everybody around? The Spirit came down and landed on Jesus Christ. That is the very first time that the Holy Spirit revealed or told them about who Jesus was. So many people were still confused on who the Messiah would be. They did not know Him. Some were thinking it's going to be John the Baptist because he was a prophet. And John said, no, I am not the one. I'm just an MC. I'm announcing to you the Savior. He's over there. And the Spirit came in form of a dove to show them who Jesus is. And from that point on, they knew this is the Messiah. And that's why they followed Him. In Luke chapter 10, verses 23 to 24, Jesus told them privately, He said to them, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. He told them then, look, that for generations past, everybody has looked forward to have a physical, real experience with me and everything that you see, but they missed it. And you have a privilege to see these things, to touch me, to hear directly from me, to walk with me, to ask me questions, and especially to hear this promise that you're not alone. I'm going to send you a Spirit who is going to help you wherever you need help. Wouldn't you have loved to be there to talk with Jesus Christ, to ask Him some questions, to just hang out with Him? We like to hang out with influential people. I'm sure all of us would have loved to stand there and just take a picture with the Lord. Yeah, He's my friend. I had breakfast with Him this morning. He actually made me breakfast this morning. Can you imagine? And He tells them, you have a privilege to hear, to touch, and these things, go tell others. That was the only thing that was required of them. That's what, again, John, 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, John again writing for our hearing. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. John does what Jesus required them to do there in 1 John. He said, we saw Him, we touched Him, we hugged Him, we ate with Him, we walked around with Him, we saw everything that He did. We had the Father speak to us about Him, and Him we tell you about. Him we declare to you, and is going to say that so that you may have fellowship not only with Him, but also with us. If you know Jesus Christ, and I'm sure a majority of us do, there's only one thing that we need to do, is to declare that Jesus to somebody else. And each one of us is a missionary. Each one of us is a messenger. Not just the people who are gifted with evangelism, not just the people who are prominent teachers and preachers, not even just me. All of us have the privilege to declare the Jesus that you know to somebody else. And all of us have to. And God is going to give you opportunities to tell people about Jesus Christ. You may not have the words and maybe a very scary experience, but God is going to help you do that. You just have to say the things that you know about Him. What do you know about Jesus Christ? For example, you've walked with Him for months and years. What do you know about Him? You know He's good. You know He's kind. You know He's the Savior. You know He is love. The Bible says so. You know that He heals. He's a healer. We can all testify about His healing. We know He provides. And that which we know, that which we've heard, that which we learn from this book, we have a privilege to share with others. And every time we are faced with a privilege, we are given the opportunity to tell people about this Jesus we know. And that's how the gospel got to each one of us. These apostles were spread around telling people about Jesus Christ, and those who received the message kept carrying it over until you and I had it. And the message does not stop with us. We have to carry it on, and that's the one way that God chooses to reveal Himself to others. You also tell others about me, He tells them. In chapter 16, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor the Son. We saw in the book of Acts, in chapter 8 and chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus, this Pharisee thought he was serving Jesus Christ by killing people. He was given permission to go as far as Europe to arrest Christians and bring them bound, chained to Jerusalem. That happened. And so many people to this day think they're serving God by mistreating Christians, by persecuting Christians. We had the testimony a few weeks ago. This is somebody who should know Jesus Christ, a reverend, a priest, whatever the title. And then somebody in the family wants the same Jesus, and they are attacked and kicked out of home. I mean, what Jesus are they talking about? It's the same Jesus Christ, so why should others persecute us for loving the same Jesus they talk about? And Jesus tells us the reason. They actually do not know Him. They think they know Him. They don't. Don't you see there? They will do to you because they have not known God. All they know is their religious affiliation. All they know is where they belong. All they know is who? Maybe the Pope. Jesus is so far away from them. Isn't that sad? That the people who actually should know Him don't. The people who actually say they know Him, honestly, they don't, especially in their conduct. When you talk about the Jesus Christ that you know, the Jesus Christ that we're talking about here, you go tell anybody about Jesus Christ, especially if they're just religious. They could be Catholic or Anglican or Episcopal or whatever their denomination is. You tell them about Jesus, they'll tell you, you know what, which Jesus are you talking about? I know Mary. He's very popular in the Bible. I know the Pope. He's coming to Uganda. I know Saint Jude. We pray to the saints. I pray that God opens their eyes so that they see Jesus Christ. See Him very clearly. But these things in verse 4, I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you about them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. So He tells them the things that I did not tell you from the very beginning because it was not healthy for you to know them. And I had to walk with you for all this time, and eventually I am telling you these things. But now I go away, verse 5, to Him who sent me. None of you asks, where are you going? When Jesus told them in chapter 14 that He was going away, they asked Him, we don't even know where you're going, and How do we even know the way? He tells them something similar. You guys know I'm going. You're not even asking where I'm going. You're not asking about heaven. You know what they should be asking? Jesus, how is it going to be like in heaven? You're going there and would love to end up there someday. How is it like? How beautiful is it? How does it look like? What should we do? They're not even asking the question they should ask. God is very patient with them. It says in verse 6, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. You're just sad I'm leaving. You're not even happy that I'm going to open the way to heaven. Nevertheless, I tell you, verse 7, tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but I have to go, but I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you will see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged already. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. So he leads them to another work of the Holy Spirit. He tells them, forget about being sad, all right? It's obviously natural to be sad when a good friend like Jesus Christ, a mighty king like Jesus Christ, is leaving. Instead of asking the question that you need to ask, you're just sad that I'm leaving. And he tells them, don't be sad. It is to your advantage that I leave. How? Jesus, it is to our advantage that you leave. We just want to be with you here. We just want to get free lunch. We just want to continue seeing miracles and signs and wonders. We also want to walk on water. You're saying that it is good for you to leave us here? Yes. It is to our advantage that Jesus be arrested, that Jesus would be beaten, that he would be mocked and nailed on the cross. It is to our advantage that he would die. It is to our advantage that he would rise again from the dead and send us his Spirit. Without the cross, salvation would not be possible. Without the cross of Jesus Christ and his departure to heaven, we would not access heaven in any other way. The way to heaven is through the cross. And it is to our advantage that he was opening the way. He said to them in John 14:6, I am the way. If you want to come to heaven, I am building that bridge to heaven. And it is good for me to live so that all of you can also come. I'm preparing a good place for you, dwelling places, mansions, you can call them. And you really have to get there to enjoy them. And it's going to be through his death. It brings tears to our eyes when we see Jesus there on the cross. And he tells us, it's okay to be sad, but it is for your salvation. It is for our clothing in righteousness. It is because we need to get there. So he opens the way. And he tells them, the Holy Spirit is coming and is going to, one, convict people of sin. He's going to convict people of righteousness and also judgment because the ruler of this world is already judged. Let's take sin, for example. And that word convict basically means he's going to show you the fault in sin. He's going to show you that sin is and most against God and his very nature. He's going to show you that sin needs to be cleansed for you to get to heaven. He's going to show everybody that they are sinners and so they need a savior. That is the word convict. It's almost like a court case, right? You have somebody who's brought to court because he has committed a crime. And what does the judge do? The trial goes on. Evidence is brought until the judge says, all right, you have been convicted of the theft. We've proved to you that you are a thief. So you serve your sentence. And that's what the Spirit does in each one of us. He shows us our fault, whether you're a non-Christian or a Christian. Think about each one of you. How did you know Jesus Christ? How did you know him? Progressively, God showed you that you are a sinner who needs salvation. And many times we rejected the voice and we rejected the voice and we rejected the voice until we softened our hearts. We finally saw that we need a Savior. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Even when you're Christian, you do something wrong. What happens? Do you just feel bad you did something wrong? God is the one who shows you that, you know what, you just told a lie. You just stole. You just said something that you should not say. You just acted in a way that you should not. You just misrepresented me. That is the Spirit in us. And when you hear that voice, when you've done something wrong, it is proof that God is showing you something that you need to deal with. And most of the time, we only feel bad we got caught, not feeling bad enough to repent. And he says, he's going to convict you of righteousness. He's going to show you your need of righteousness. So first of all, he shows you that you're a sinner, all right? So there is ample evidence that you are a sinner. Okay, so what do I do? I'm a sinner. He says, well, you need righteousness, and that righteousness is in Jesus Christ. All right, I'll receive him. And then eventually, he warns of coming judgment. He tells you if you do not repent, there is danger ahead. That happened to me when I received Jesus Christ. I had just watched an end time movie. And honestly, I did not want to see that judgment come upon me. Have you seen all those end time movies and all the disasters that God throws upon the earth? I say to myself, I don't want to experience that. I got a warning of God's coming judgment, and thankfully Jesus made a way for me to be justified. And all of us. And he says, the ruler of this world is judged. He's condemned. Satan is condemned. Cast out of heaven. We just wait for the day when he'll be completely chained and burnt in the lake of fire. Some studies have been done recently about the sins that affect us in our day, this generation. One major sin that came out of this research is materialism. The second was pride. The third was self-centeredness, selfishness. The fourth, laziness. The fifth, anger stroke bitterness. The sixth, sexual lust, sexual sin. Seventh, envy. Eighth, gluttony. People eat too much these days. The last one is they are lying. And everybody who falls to these things, all of us, the Spirit is faithful to tell us that, you know what, you're eating too much. You're drinking too much, all right? You're taking so much sugar. Somebody said, regardless of how you pray for your food, you eat too much of it, it will kill you. All right? Each time you get it, God bless this chicken. God bless this milk. God will bless it. You have too much of it, it's going to kill you. Materialism. Prosperity. Selfishness for economic reasons. People don't want to share because they don't want to get broke. All right? There's a phrase in my language that if you share, you'll be poor. Right? That is in our day. Look at the Syrians trying to get to Europe and everybody says, go back. We don't want you. You're quite an economic burden. Laziness. you go to hospital, you'll find out that a lot of diseases in this day are called lifestyle diseases. People eat too much, they don't want to exercise. They take so much sugar, they don't even know it's harmful for their health. And all these things that we consume, they even come with a warning on them, right? Too much sugar is harmful to your health. Cigarettes will harm your health. Blah, 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 blah. And tell you what, when we give ourselves those things, God says to you, and you know it, it's too much. It's not good for you. Sexual lust. This whole world is obsessed with sex. You see nudity everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, what's wrong with this world? You ever wonder? Everybody's portraying a sexual image for everybody to see. Have you seen those skimpily dressed ladies advertising tires? What on earth are ladies to do with tires? They just want to attract the man to see the picture and then go buy the tire, right? Everything. And it's eating this world up. Even in this country, the HIV rates are shooting higher. You talk to the doctors. Partly because they are ARVs, so you can't tell somebody sick. Sexual morality is going to kill this world. And God is always faithful by His Spirit to warn us. You are taking the wrong direction. You are taking the wrong direction. That is God's Spirit in us. And that is the work of the Spirit in this world. And when we go telling people about Jesus Christ, let's pray that God continuously reveals these things to them so that they see their need for salvation. This world needs a Savior. And thankfully, it's not our job. It is God's job through His Spirit to tell people about sin, about the righteousness they need, and the coming judgment. And if they receive Jesus Christ, they're safe. And if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ, this is a grand opportunity for you to know Him. And He is speaking to you right now. He's telling you you need a Savior. He's showing you that you're a sinner. And He's warning you that judgment is coming. Please repent. There's a way out. He tells them in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them. I have a lot to tell you, but it's too much for you to bear for now. That's why the Spirit is going to come and help them. In verses 13 to 15, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak to you. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I say that He will take Mine and declare it to you. The third purpose He was going to send the Spirit is to lead them into all truth. Everything that you need to know is going to be given to you, He tells them. You don't have so much mind to understand everything I'm telling you. There is going to be difficult times. Persecution is coming. You're not even taking notes. You're going to forget. You're going to get confused in this journey. You're going to get probably even lost. Somehow, you're going to get somewhere you don't even know what to do or where to go. And the Spirit is going to come, calls Him the Spirit of truth, and He will tell you all the truth that you need to know. That actually happened. Do you know how the rest of the New Testament came to be? Do you know how John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke compiled the Gospels? God Himself, through His Spirit, was helping them understand the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Spirit is going to come down. Remember Acts chapter 1 verse 8, promised. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit came down and helped them compile the Bible, the rest of it that was not written yet. The Gospels. Matthew, a tax collector. Luke, a doctor. John, one of his apostles. Mark, one of them too. How was that possible? God himself comes in them and reminds them of these things from the baptism, even way back before the baptism, until his resurrection. All scripture is given by the breath of God. That word inspiration means breath. God literally was telling them what to do. God would speak to them and they would write these things down. And he says, it's going to help you into all truth. Again, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, he talks about how all this happened. Read the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 21, it says, for prophecy never come by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by who? By the Holy Spirit. Everything in here, old, new, and yet to come to pass, was given to men by the Spirit of God. And so many have tried to discredit the Bible. Some say it has errors. You point out one. Some say, well, those are just a group of men who just gathered together and thought it was a good idea to tell us what to do. That's not true. How would you put Moses, who compiled the books, first books of the Bible, and Peter? How would you join the two so that they're able to write something consistent? Jesus quoted from the prophets, from Daniel and a couple of other prophets. How did he know that? God himself, through the centuries, over 1,600 years, over 45 writers from three different continents, penning down what we have, the Bible. That is even impossible in this day. All right? If you want to try it, please do. Give yourself a period of 1,600 years. You can write something down today and pass it on to your grandchildren until 1,600 years have passed and see if they're going to be consistent. It's going to be different. Just take a sample in this room. If I tell three of you to comment about one topic, all of you are going to say something different. God moved through these men to have this truth for us, and this is all truth that we have. This is all truth. And he had warned them that there was going to be deception. We're going to see that in a few chapters. And the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Are you looking for truth? Are you looking for all truth? This is where to find it. Somebody told me during the week that somebody does not like this church because we teach the Bible. That's a good reason for us to be hated, right? They hate us without a cause. Is teaching the Bible crime? Is it wrong? You know why that happens? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from truth and be turned aside to fables, to fairy tales. Paul wrote that for his day. All right? In a few years, of course, deception was coming, but it is true today. The time has come when not so many people love the truth. Statistics show that only about 20% of Christians read the entire Bible. Can we take a sample statistic in this room? How many of you have read the entire Bible? Put up your hands. Pretty much 20%. You don't like the truth? Do you want to fulfill this? Do you want to give yourself to fairy tales? We prefer the fairy soaps and the truth of the Bible, don't we? And tell you what, very, very dangerous. A lot of people fall prey to false teachers because they do not know the truth. And if you do not know the whole truth of the Bible, tell you what, you're going to fall. They will deceive you. Maybe you're going to sit under them because what they say is what you want to hear. Right? They'll tell you you're going to get a new job. Yeah, who doesn't want a new job? With the UN. Who doesn't want to work with the UN? I remember when I was almost out of sports, that year we were the league champions. I used to play volleyball. And then this guy comes to me. I knew I was out of sports. He comes and tells me, Kongs, you're going to travel many nations. I honestly wanted to hear that. But that wasn't true. I was out of it. And sometimes we get deceived because we don't want the truth. And I want to encourage you. We have the Spirit. We have all truth. And there's no reason why you should not know it. Why do you think some of the largest churches in the world are not actually teaching the truth? You have churches of 30,000 people, 40,000 people in one service. And you listen to the preacher and you're wondering, what is he talking about? No Bible. The Bible is actually closed. It's a bunch of jokes and feel-good messages. And everybody wants to hear those. Just be nice. Just feel nice. Just smile. Just whatever it is. Because people do not want the truth. And I would like to challenge you. Let those statistics change. Even in this room, 100% of us should read 100% of this truth. This is all truth that everybody desires. And we have it. What a privilege to have it in our laps. And sometimes, sadly, we put it away. In the Old Testament, as I summarize, the Spirit of God would come upon men for just a season and only particular men for a particular purpose. He would come upon Moses because he had a message for the Jews in the wilderness. He would come upon the craftsmen. Remember the building of the temple and the tabernacle? Can you imagine? The Bible says those men were filled with the Spirit of God. Carpentry, stone cutting in the temple, leather work. They were able to do that because the Spirit enabled them. They did it to perfection. The Spirit came upon the prophets to warn the people of coming judgment and also to encourage people, to tell them to repent. The Spirit would come upon the priests when they would appear before God in the ark and the temple as they would make atonement and sacrifices for the people. Only for a season. The Spirit of God would come upon kings, administrators, King David, King Solomon, King Saul, for a season. In fact, in Psalm 51, when David had sinned, he was pleading with God, God, please don't take your Spirit away from me. In the New Testament, we have the Spirit in full measure all the time. All of us, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God lives in you. That's why he calls you his child, because he gives a mark of ownership to him. And we've seen what he does in our lives and in the life of everybody in the world. He tells us who Jesus is. He shows us who Jesus is, first of all. And after showing us who Jesus is, he helps us tell others about him. Secondly, he convicts. He continuously shows us our faults, not to condemn us, but to lead us to righteousness, as he warns us about judgment. Convicts the world, everyone in the world. Sometimes you worry, how about the people who have not heard about Jesus Christ? God is there with them. If we fail to reach them, God will obviously reach them. He is everywhere. And he shows them their fault. He wants to lead them to righteousness. And he warns them that if you reject this gift that I have for you, which is free, judgment is coming. And you're going to be judged alongside Satan. And lastly, he leads us into all truth. He helps us understand everything that he helped the men of God who compiled these things, which is all truth. No wonder he says it's for our advantage that he lives, because he knows what he wants to do. He wants to lead each one of us to truth, to the fullness of God, and he does that all the time. Another place, the Bible says, we should not quench him. Right? When he speaks to us, don't resist him. Don't try to shut him up. Open your ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to you all the time. Maybe you'll find yourself in a situation that you don't have the right words. Right? In that moment, he will help you. Maybe you don't know the right answer. You don't know the right decision to make. You don't know which direction to take. But the Spirit is available to lead us, first of all, into all truth, and to keep us in that truth as a way of protecting us from all the deception that is out there. And some people, first of all, because they do not know the truth that the Spirit has for them, completely misunderstand this Spirit and his work. Maybe you've seen it in so many places. You go to a church and everything is chaotic. In the name of the Spirit, all right? People are in the Spirit. I am in the Spirit. They use terms like anointing. I feel the anointing of God. And sometimes you're like, okay, I don't feel it, kind of a thing. It's not just feelings and emotions, people. It is revealing who Jesus is to us. A lot of people just promote the emotions, right? The sensations, all right? I feel some warmth in my heart. I feel something. God may operate through our feelings and may give us certain sensation of experiences by his Spirit, but that does not supersede the fact that he actually primarily points us to God. Did you see that in verse 14? He will glorify me. He leads us to God. He gives what God has to us, the gifts. We're going to see that. The abilities that we have. He takes it from the wealth of heaven and grants it to us. Gives us the wisdom that we need. I pray that we all commit to listen to what God has to say all the time, because he speaks to each one of us all the time, not just through his word. Anywhere you are, you may not have a Bible, God will speak to you. You may not know everything, God will still speak to you. We ought to listen to his voice. He reveals Jesus to us. He shows us our fault and leads us to repentance, and he leads us to all truth, protects us from all the falsehood that is out there. And best we can do is, again, be attentive to him. Amen. Let's stand and pray. As we've been talking about these things, maybe the Spirit of God has been showing you something that he needs you to attend to, especially in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. And all of us have things that God wants us to kick out of our lives. Please heed. Don't shut that voice. Repent. Just ask him, God, I've seen it, and I even see it more clearly. Please help me. The Bible says here that he's a helper. Maybe you have not known Jesus Christ personally, and he has been speaking to you through his Spirit that you need a a savior. He has shown you your sinfulness. Please make that commitment to follow Jesus Christ today. Maybe you've been disregarding his truth. You only come for a dose on Sunday. And I'm sure God is speaking to all of us, right? I feel the anointing. God is speaking to all of us. Please be grounded in the truth. You have it. Amen. Lord, thank you so much for going to heaven for our advantage. Thank you so much for going to the cross and it's for advantage. Thank you so much for receiving all the beatings, all the mockings, that crown of thorns. Thank you so much for shedding your blood. And that was for advantage, for salvation. Lord, thank you so much for sending us your Spirit who lives in each one of us to help us, to show you to us, to reveal you to each one of us, Lord, to show us our faults and to lead us to your righteousness in repentance, to warn us of coming judgment, and to lead us to all truth. Lord Jesus, we want that truth, oh God, and the Spirit of truth is here to lead each one of us to understand you and to know everything that we need to know about your will for us, about your plan for this world. So Lord, we commit ourselves to listen to you, Lord. Jesus, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, O God. Cleanse us of all uncleanness. We all have it in our minds, in our bodies, in our hearts, and sometimes we hide it. But we want to lay it bare before you. Please forgive us and cleanse us, Lord. We don't want to continue in a path that is going to destroy us. We want to follow your paths of righteousness, O God. Lord, we don't want to be given to falsehood and fables and fairy tales. Lord, we want to commit to your truth. And thankfully, you are here to help us by your Spirit understand these things and to transform us and to prepare us for heaven. In Jesus' name I pray.